So here we are in a battle with eternal ramifications. And you've got to understand that it has eternal ramifications. Because one day you and I will stand before the Lord, and one of the questions He will ask each one of us, what did you do with the gifts that I gave you? What did you do with the talents I entrusted to you? What did you do with yourself and your life? And I think a lot of people are going to be shocked when they see who they really were and never became that person. What God had given them, that they, somewhere deep inside, they knew they had it, but they buried it, and the Lord shows you when you started to bury it, when you rejected yourself, when you rejected your gifts, when you rejected your giftings, when you rejected what was entrusted to you. But it was always there rumbling in the background. So I want to tell you today, if you have things rumbling in the background, if you have things that disturb you inside, if you have things that are pressing you or niggling at you or stirring somehow or another, I believe that today the Lord wants to put a light beam on that. He wants to focus on that and say to you and show you, okay, let's look at that thing and let's begin to discover what it is. You know, is it a lie from the enemy to trouble you? If it is, let's expose it so that you can then reject it. Or is it something that God is speaking to you that you can be and you can do and you can go? And maybe one of the ways the Lord highlights that is by you see somebody doing something and something rises up inside of you and said, I'd like to do things like that. And as soon as you think that, I'd like to do things like that, the enemy throws darts at you and you know and says, well, you can't do that because you're not whatever, fill in the blank. You'll never be able to fill in the blank because you're not, and fill in the blank, you know, to stop you. And so you kind of shrug your shoulders and go, oh, well, I'll never. And I want to say to you today that God wants to remove all of that from your inner conversation and change your inner conversation that says, Lord, whatever you want, I'm going to take that step of faith because I only got one life to live and I'm going to take the risk of living a life of faith. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You'll show me. But if I'm right, I'm going to enter into a new realm of reality. And I believe that God wants to take all of us into new realms of reality. And I believe that's why you come to gatherings like this. You know, that to get an impartation, an exhortation, an encouragement, or even a rebuke. You know, how many times do we need healthy rebukes? A healthy rebuke is a rebuke that doesn't put you down. It kicks you forward. It moves you forward. It says, stop acting like that because you're robbing yourself. Stop believing those lies that hinder you, that rob you, that stop you, that minimize you in your own mind. Stop doing that and take the risk of faith. Oh, but I can't take the risk of faith. Why not? Oh, I'm afraid. Why? Well, I might die. So what? What is the worst case scenario? If you die, you go to heaven. And then once you get there, you'll be really glad you're there. Because it'll be like, whoa. So sometimes we have to deal in our head with the worst case scenario, what can happen. I was speaking with a senior minister. He would like me to refer to him that way. I'm not telling you who it is or where it happened. But he was dealing with some, you know, real issues, grappling, you know, with age and finances and lack and stuff like that. And I said to this brother, I said, so what's the worst thing that can happen? Tell me what's the worst thing that can happen. Well, we can lose our house and I might have to live with my kids. And that was a horrifying thought for him. And then we would have nothing. Maybe we'd just stay in a bedroom. I said, so what? So if it's the Lord for that to happen, Jesus will be there in the midst and you have no idea where you will go from there. So you have to have a so what and say to the devil, I will not be afraid. I said, so well, that's what's the worst thing? So then you're in this little bedroom, you have nothing, and you have a heart attack and you die. Then you're in glory and it's a good ending, okay? So where is all this fear and anxiety and worry and unbelief, and I can't sleep at night because I'm anxious and I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that, and it's ruining your health, you know, and all of these things are all going on in your head because you're afraid of this or afraid of that. So the same dynamic that we have to step forward into in order to get free from all of this is, well, what's the worst thing in the world that can happen? They'll throw me out of my church. Hallelujah. They'll throw me out of my family. Hallelujah. I'll be homeless. Hallelujah. What an adventure. Then you have to say, okay, Jesus, where am I going to live tonight? Where am I going to eat tonight? I don't have any money. Hallelujah. Something has to rise up inside of you that says, hallelujah. Okay, Lord, otherwise the enemy will always be there to say, don't even think about that. Keep your mouth shut, keep your head down, don't think about yourself in any kind of different or special or unique. You're not unique, you're not special, it's a lie, don't listen to this guy tell you these things. You're just not, you never were, you have no talent, you have no ability, you hardly have a brain in your head, the part of the brain in your head that you have doesn't really work so good, haven't they told you that since you were a kid, you know, and all, whatever lies were constructed to stop you, you have to stand against and say, well, I may not be the brightest bulb in the pack, but I got a little bit of light and I'm going to follow that. I may not be a nuclear scientist, but I don't have to be to serve the Lord. Because the nuclear scientists are clueless themselves. Just listen to them talk to one another. We think this. We have a theory. Yes, and tomorrow the theory is thrown out the window. Today we have a new theory. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? And all these people are held in high esteem, but they're not held in high esteem by God because He's about to pull up a veil and they're going to see things they never saw before and be blown away. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And it's headline, science is blown away, right? How many, you know what I'm talking about? New discoveries, like, oh, whoa. And so we can't have this kind of internal negative structure going on if we're going to fulfill the plans and purposes of God. So part of getting free and then staying free and then helping others get free, the first part is getting free, is recognizing there are strategies against your freedom that want to stop you from moving into the purposes of God. So the first thing you have to do is have an attitude of heart that says, I want to get free. You have to make a choice for yourself. I want to get free. Lord, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do, wherever you want to take me, I'm willing to pay the price to get free. Because freedom is expensive. And a lot of people are unwilling to pay the price to get free. They would rather be enslaved. They would rather be in bondage. They would rather live in the place of, I can't and I'm not, and there are all of the reasons why I can't and I'm not and I'll never. And they covenant with those reasons. They make inner vows. They believe that. They take it on. And that becomes, watch this, that becomes the structure of their self. So when you talk to them and you ask them about, or their inner dialogue is, well, I'm not this and I can't do this and I've never been this and I'm this kind of a person and I'm this way and I have to have this in place and I have to have that and I'll never be able to travel light and I'll never be able to go to this place and I'll never be, I would never, never go to be with those people, you know, and I wouldn't go to that church and I wouldn't do, you know, all of the no's and can'ts and I'm like this and I'm like that and this has to be in place and that has to be in place. And all of those things identify you and you live in that and you think that's your real self, that you think that's who you really are. Then you meet the Lord, God begins to deal with you, you pray the prayer, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, He believes you mean it, and He starts to bring His rulership into your life, that's His kingdom. He begins to operate as Lord. Imagine that, God operating as Lord.